Please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2. You'll find that on page 1169 in your pew Bibles. And our series is called Christian Home Fixer Upper, and so we've been doing some remodeling around our homes, haven't we, as we look at what the Bible says about Christian home and family. And so far we've looked at moms, we've looked at couples, we've looked at singles, and we've looked at kids. And so today, being Father's Day, we're going to look at dads together. And even if you're not a father this morning, let me remind you, anytime we look into God's Word, anytime we see what God's Word has to say to us, there's scriptural principles there for us to learn and to apply and even to pass on to others. So we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. And please stand with me at this time for the reading of God's Word. The Apostle Paul writes these words, inspired by the Holy Spirit. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. This is the Word of God. Father God, speak to us now through your Word. Help us to be changed people as your Spirit does your work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I was talking with a good friend once, and they made the observation that there seems to be a difference between Mother's Day sermons and Father's Day sermons. And they noted that on Mother's Day, moms tend to receive a lot of encouragement and accolades and honor and just general warm fuzzies. We just tell moms, you know, God loves you, God bless you, you're a mom. Dads on Father's Day, she made the observation, basically get chewed out for not doing a better job. And you know, there's probably something to that. You know, fathers do get treated differently than moms, right down to the gifts that we get. Moms rarely receive a new tie on Mother's Day or a new tool or fresh socks, you know, whatever it may be. One young boy described Father's Day in this way. He said, it's just like Mother's Day, except you don't spend so much. You know, dads often get the short end of the stick, don't we? I like what one 8-year-old student said about his dad. This was for a school composition. And he wrote this. He said, my father can climb the highest mountain or swim the biggest ocean. He can fly the fastest plane and fight the strongest tiger. My father can do anything. But most of the time, he just takes out the trash. Well, back to sermons. I think there's something to that. I don't think it's a matter of intent, but I think we really do. We fall into this pattern of encouraging the moms on Mother's Day and then challenging the dads on Father's Day. And so we honor the position of mother, but we examine the quality of fathering. So in that spirit, I want to begin by honoring our dads who are here today. What's the fifth commandment say? Honor your father and your mother. Both are included. So dads, we salute you today. We want to acknowledge all that you do for your families. We recognize that your hard work often goes unappreciated, and yet that we do. We have an obligation to stop and to say thank you. Thank you for loving your wives and your children. Thank you for the spiritual leadership you provide in your homes. Thank you for the example you set each day, for the knowledge and wisdom that you pass on to the next generation, for providing income for the family's basic needs, for working hard around the home to keep it in good shape, most of all, just for being there for your family. And those are all important aspects of fatherhood. None of us does it all perfectly, but thank you, dads, for everything that you do and have done for your families. We honor you as fathers today. Now, having said all that, I'm still going to challenge you this morning. I think that's just the way these Father's Day messages work, isn't it? But let's get started. And in this morning's text, we find really a divinely inspired description of a good father's qualities. Now, you might remember, you might not, but you might remember back on Mother's Day, we looked at the verses right before these. We looked at verses 6 through 9, where we found a description of a mother's qualities. Now, here in verses 10 through 12, the Apostle Paul is writing this. Paul describes the qualities of a godly father. And just as he did with the moms, he does this by way of analogy. He's sharing how he and his friends ministered to the Thessalonians. And then he says, we did that. We dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. And so here we find in God's word a concise description, a divine blueprint of what fathering is all about. Once again, it's not the whole story, but God gives us here three essential qualities that every father should emulate in their own lives. A godly father is what? He's one who encourages, comforts, and urges his children to live lives worthy of God. Of course, we have other responsibilities as well. There are other verses in Scripture which address those. But today I want to concentrate on this divine trilogy of essential father qualities, encouraging, comforting, and urging your children to live lives worthy of God. Now, if I was going to take all those qualities and sum it up in a single word, I would choose the word motivation. And I believe the father's special role in the home is one of motivation. Now, if we went back to Mother's Day, verse 7, Paul described his ministry to the Thessalonians there in terms of mothering. He said, "We were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children." Back then, we summed up the mother's special role with the word nurture. And I believe, generally speaking, God has given mothers a nurturing role in the home. He has given fathers a motivating role. Now, that's not to say that mothers don't motivate and fathers don't nurture. There's certainly overlap in these roles. Single moms and single dads, you have to do it all, and I applaud you, because that is not easy, and you work very hard in fulfilling what God intended to be a dual role. But when it comes down to what we naturally do best, I believe mothers have a God-given gift for nurture, and we see that in verses 6 through 9, and fathers have a God-given gift for motivation. We see that in this morning's passage. I know, at least in our family, Rosie was the one who always had that gentle, caring, nurturing heart for the boys in a very different way than I do. She focuses more on their emotional state and how they feel. I focus more on their actions and what they do. And when the boys were younger or they got hurt, if they needed a Band-Aid, you know what? They always went straight to Mom. It's not that I couldn't help or I didn't know how to put on a Band-Aid. I think I know how to put on a Band-Aid, right? But, you know, they wanted her. Why? Because that's her natural strength. Whenever they were hitting a baseball or jumping over a log or catching a lizard or a snake, even if Rosie and I were both standing there, they wanted me to see what they were doing, right? It was always, "Dad, watch this. Dad, see what I can do. Dad, look at me." See, kids look to their moms for nurture and they look to their dads for motivation. And that's what Paul focuses on here in our text this morning, the motivational role for dads, encouraging, comforting, urging their children to live lives worthy of God. So we're going to take a look at each of these three qualities now this morning. So dads, the first way that you can motivate your children is by encouraging them. And dads, I want you to know that you have incredible power to motivate and encourage your kids. You have no idea how much they need your encouragement, your support. They need your vote of confidence. They need you to believe in them. So how do you do this? How do you encourage your children? Primarily, there are three ways. You encourage them with your words, with your presence, and with your support. There's an outline in your bulletin with all of these points if you want to follow along or take notes. First of all, you can encourage your kids with your words. Proverbs 18:21 says this, that the tongue has the power of life and death. And dads, your words carry extra weight with your children. And the words that you speak help to shape them as they grow. You've probably heard the old saying before, if a child grows up with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child grows up with praise and encouragement, he learns to appreciate and have confidence, and so on. Trust me, your kids, your sons and your daughters, will remember specific things that you said to them years after you speak the words, years after you've forgotten them. And so be sure that you use your words to encourage your kids. Tell them that you love them. Tell them how proud you are of them. Speak words of encouragement that relate to their accomplishments. If they're young, encourage them by saying, "Hey, good job. You did it all by yourself. That's great. Do that for me again. Terrific paper. We're going to put that right up on the refrigerator." As they get older, you can tell them things like, "I can see you worked really hard on this. Good job. I am proud of you." I like to tell my kids even now, you guys are the best. You guys are the greatest. See, don't our kids need to hear those words from their dads? Didn't we need to hear those words from our dads? There are too many grown men and women today who have problems with motivation in their lives because they never heard those words from dad. Or even worse, because their father instead spoke words of discouragement to them. Discouraging words like, you can't do that. You're no good. You can't do anything right. See, the book of James also says that the tongue has great power for evil and for good. And dads, your encouraging words are vitally important to your child's self-confidence and motivation. So first of all, encourage your children with your words. Secondly, you can encourage your children with your presence. Now, the word that we have translated encourage here in the text, it's a word that literally means this, to call someone alongside. To call someone alongside of you. It also carries the whole idea of strengthening the other person. It's the picture of a coach calling one of his players to his or her side and telling him or her, you can do this. Settle. Focus. I have full confidence in you. And then sends them back out into the game. So dads, do you do that? Do you encourage your kids? Do you call them alongside for regular pep talks? Of course, if you're going to call them alongside of you, that means you have to be near their side, which means that a dad needs to be present. We need to be involved in our kids' lives and in their activities. Did you know that parents in the United States spend less time with their children than parents in almost any other nation in the world? So dads, you need to look for ways to spend time with your kids each week. Get involved in their activities. Do they play soccer? Then go to their games. Are they in the school play? Sit in the front row. Do they run track? You be their greatest fan. You attend every activity you possibly can. You root for them. You cheer them on from the stands. Go for it. You can do it. I know you can. You encourage them with your presence. And dads, another thing is we need to be home more often. Now, I know that work inevitably takes us away from home for large portions of time. There's nothing we can do about that. But there are other times when we simply choose to be away. And so we need to re-examine our priorities and our schedule and make sure that we have plenty of downtime at home, time just to be with our wives and with our children. I would also stress to you, dinner time is especially important. A report published in USA Today found that teenagers who eat dinner with their parents at least five times a week are less likely to take drugs, less likely to be depressed, more motivated, there's that word motivation, more motivated in their schoolwork, and have a happier social life. And you say, why? What, just eating dinner five times a week together? Well, eating together does what? It promotes communication, which promotes discussion, which promotes sharing, which promotes love. It's a time for the whole family to reconnect with each other and to reinforce those bonds. It's been said that the very best gift a father can give to his child is the gift of himself, his time. For material things mean little if there's not someone to share them with. 1,500 children were asked this question, what do you think makes a happy family? You know what? The kids didn't list money or big homes or large screen TVs or Xboxes. You know what the most common answer was? Doing things together. You see, children spell the word love this way. T-I-M-E. We need to encourage our kids with our presence. Thirdly, dads, you encourage your children by supporting them. Supporting them in their endeavors. I remember when I was in college, I had a friend come over to my house, and we had a piano in the living room, and I sat down, started just playing the piano and singing. I was making all sorts of mistakes. My voice was cracking all over, and my friend just sort of stared at me. I think they did that a lot anyways, but he just sort of stared at me. He said, don't you realize your parents are in the other room? And I said, yeah, they don't care. We do this all the time. And then he shared with me what I thought was the saddest thing, because he was a great piano player. I mean, you know, he played concertos and all. He said, I never play when my parents are in the home. He said, I wait till they go out. He says, because they always criticize my playing and they pick out every mistake. So he eventually just stopped playing for them. That's so sad because both he and his parents lost out on that deal. Dads, do you pick out all the wrong notes your child plays? Or do you encourage your child for all the right notes? Your children need you to support them not only in their present, but also for the future. Never put your kids down. Never belittle their ideas. Listen to their dreams and their future plans. If your five-year-old boy announces he wants to play for the Florida Marlins, guess what? It's time to get out the ball and glove and start practicing. If your 11-year-old daughter wants to paint, you go out and get her an easel or some sketch pads. If your teenager has a dream, you help him or her pursue it. Listen to your child's interests and encourage them in those directions. Now, you and I know they're going to change those interests 100 times before they get to college. You just try to keep up with them. Do you know your child's plans and dreams? If you don't, then make it a point to ask them. Just sit down and ask them sometimes. Say, what are you interested in? What things would you like to pursue this year? What can I do to help? How can I support you? So this is the first thing Paul says. He says, we were like fathers to you, encouraging you. And so dads, look for ways to encourage your children every day with your words, with your presence, and with your support. You hold the key to motivating them to excellence through your encouragement. Now, the second aspect, which Paul addresses here, of motivation is that of comforting your children. And if encouraging has to do with motivating your kids to get started on something, comforting has to do with helping them to get back up and going again when they're down. And so you may have done a great job encouraging your child. You may have boosted their confidence and they are ready to take on the world. You may have helped them to get a realistic appraisal of their own abilities and to give their best towards a project or a goal. But what happens when the chips are down? What happens when their dreams are not coming together the way they hoped? That's when a child needs their father's comfort. And this word in the Greek, it's a word which means to console or, and I like this, to encourage someone to continue in a course of action. You see, we all experience setbacks in life, and dads, your kids are going to need you to help them to stay the course when the going gets rough. But notice that we do that by comforting them, not by criticizing them or by ignoring their hurt. Poor kid gets thrown off the horse, and we just throw him right back on. Well, there's a time to get back on that horse, but Paul says, first of all, we were like fathers to you, comforting you. And once again, you know, going back to our family, when our boys were younger, if one of them fell down, I could always tell whether they were really hurt or not by whether they came to Rosie or to me. If they were really hurt and they just needed some good old-fashioned love and care and nurture, they went straight to Rosie. They made a beeline for Mom. But if they weren't really that hurt and they just needed a boost, you know, as a morale lifter just to get up and going again, they'd come running to me. Quick hug from Dad, are you okay? Pat in the back, they'd be off and running again. And I believe that that illustrates well what Paul is trying to get here, the father's role in comforting his children. A father's comfort provides the strength and motivation for the child to press on through those discouragements. So dads, how do you do this now? How do you comfort your children? Once again, there are three basic ways: by listening, by empathizing, and by touching. First of all, we comfort our children by listening to them. We're dads, we're men, we always just want to jump in with the quick fix it, the obvious solution, when sometimes what our children need most at that moment is simply for someone to listen to them. And your kids are going to suffer so many disappointments and discouragements in life. It's going to be times when they feel like giving up. Don't discount their feelings, but ask them about it. So, what do you think about that? How are you feeling? You know? Let them share their discouragements with you. Don't rush them through it. Hear them out. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says this: the purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. Dads, take the time to be that man of understanding. Draw your child out, and often just listening to them will help them to regain the strength they need to continue their course. Then secondly, as you listen, try to empathize with your child. What does that mean? Well, if your child is 3 years old and afraid of the dark, do your best. Try to remember, what was it like when I was 3 years old and afraid of the dark? If your teenager has just experienced his or her first breakup, try to remember what it was like when you were a teen and you broke up with someone. Listen and empathize. Identify with your child. Try to feel what they are feeling, and then perhaps share a similar time when you faced loss or disappointment or discouragement. And help them to see that although discouragement is a natural part of life, that our God is powerful, He is strong, He is loving, and He will help them through those discouraging times. I read about one father whose little boy had leukemia, and his son had lost his hair due to the chemotherapy treatments. And this dad was so overwhelmed with love for his son that he shaved his own head, and he left only the outline of his son's initials at the neckline. See, that's empathy. The son had suffered loss, and his dad did not want him to be alone in that loss. He identified with his son and entered his sorrow with him. When your child needs comfort, look for ways that you can shave your head. Not literally, well, if you want to go ahead, but you know, look for ways that you can identify with your child's fear or grief. Thirdly, we comfort our child by physical touch. And dads, let me really encourage you in this matter. Don't be afraid to comfort your child with physical touch. I know some dads have trouble relaying physical attention, affection, especially to their sons. It's like they can hug their daughter and tell their daughter they love her, but something about the sons, they kind of stand off, and they don't feel comfortable hugging their son or telling their son that they love him. But dad, your son needs your physical affection, and he needs to hear those words from you. Tell your son that you love him. You do, right? Right? So tell him. If it doesn't feel comfortable to you, that's okay. Get past that. You really do love him, and he really needs to hear it. So just tell him. Don't be afraid to hug him or to tussle his hair or to hold his hand. If all else fails, you can do what I love to do with my kids. Give them noogies. You know, there's physical affection that any dad can get into. But your child needs your physical touch, and it will strengthen him and help him make it through the hard times. Remember the story of the prodigal son. Talk about being down and needing comfort. This son had run away from home, wasted all his father's money, lost all his friends, was stuck feeding the pigs, and now he's finally coming home convinced he's going to work for his father as a hired servant. And how did his dad greet him when he returned? We read Luke 15:20, the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son and did what? He threw his arms around him and kissed him. This son needed comforting and motivation to get back on course, and the father ministered comfort to him. How? Through physical touch. Dads, don't be afraid to use physical touch to connect with your sons. Well, that's sons. Let's talk about daughters for a moment, because this is what can happen with dads and daughters. When the daughter's young, the dad hugs her and loves her and tells her how much he loves her and all that. But for some reason, as they start growing older, the dad begins to pull back a little bit and no longer feels comfortable saying those words or hugging his daughter. Dads, your preteen and your teenage daughters still need you to hug them and to affirm them. And studies have shown again and again that when a daughter does not receive appropriate physical affection from her father, she often goes seeking that affection elsewhere and in inappropriate ways. And so lack of physical comfort towards your daughter now can set her up for bad relationships later. And so Paul says that the second way we can motivate our children is how? By comforting them. We sometimes miss out on that opportunity to minister to our children in this way. Why is that? We're dads. We're men. Years of conditioning have told us that our children don't really need our comfort. Besides, that's not masculine, comforting. That's soft. You know, our kids get hurt. We find ourselves telling them just, hey, roll with the punches. Get over it. Get back in there. We're not always comfortable with comforting. And yet comforting is part of what fathering is all about. It's part of fathering as God intended it. Our Heavenly Father himself, and for those of you who've had dads who perhaps have not been very encouraging or comforting to you, will you hear these words about your Heavenly Father? 2 Corinthians 1:3, our Heavenly Father is called the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. You see, comforting comes naturally to our God and Father. And so, dads, we need to grow in this area. Our intentions are good. We want to motivate our kids. We want to help them to get over those obstacles and keep going. But we sometimes short-circuit the process by neglecting to comfort our kids when they are down. So when our kids are upset about something, they need us as dads. They need us to listen to them, to empathize with them. They need our physical touch. That's how we comfort them. That's how our children regain the strength they need in order to get back up and going again, back on the course, back in the game. A father has tremendous power to help motivate his children through comforting. So we've talked about encouraging our kids. We've talked about comforting our kids. Now we come to the third area of motivation. And this is the one that Paul calls urging. A godly father urges his children to live lives worthy of God. What is a life that is worthy of God? It is a life that is centered upon God. It is a life that puts God first and seeks first his will. It's a life that honors God and honors Jesus Christ above all other things. It's a life that points other people to the love of God in Christ. It is a life that is lived to the glory of God. And notice that the godly father urges his child to live this kind of life. He doesn't leave it up to chance. He doesn't adopt a hands-off approach and hope that his child discovers this for himself. He doesn't say, do this if you want to. He urges his child on. He challenges him. He holds the target high and says, aim here. And he makes an intentional and concerted effort to lead his child to live this life that is worthy of our great and wonderful God. And how does a dad do this? Once again, the scripture points us to three areas: through instruction, discipline, and example. Let's take a look at all three of these as we close today. First of all, through instruction. Fathers, you have a God-given obligation to instruct your children in God's word. We read it in the Old Testament. Psalm 78 says this: the Lord decreed statutes which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children so the next generation would know them. We read these words from King David instructing his son Solomon, 1 Chronicles 28. He said, be careful, Solomon, to follow all the commands of the Lord your God. Acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion, with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. David is instructing his son. And then in Proverbs chapter 4, we find Solomon, who was instructed by his dad, now instructing his children. Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 4. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. When I was a boy in my father's house, still tender, and an only child of my mother, he taught me and said, lay hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. So we find this command in the Old Testament, we find it in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says this: fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It's interesting. Last week we saw how in Ephesians it tells the children to honor their parents, both mom and dad. But now when it comes to instructing your kids, did you notice that the fathers are specifically singled out here? Moms, you're supposed to teach your kids too, but the dads are singled out here. Fathers, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You might wonder, well, how in the world do I do that? How am I supposed to know what to teach them? The answer is, you're a dad. Read the instruction manual, right? That's what we do for everything else. What's the instruction manual? It's right here. So dads, get to know your Bible. Begin a regular daily Bible reading program. I've got some in the office. I'd be glad to give you one. You can just start today. Whatever today's date is, you just pick up there and you get rolling. Get involved in a Sunday school class or a Bible study where you can learn more of God's Word. Listen to Christian radio. I've got so many good books I can either loan you or recommend to you that will help you. Guys, you have more opportunities in this day and age to learn and grow in your knowledge of God's Word than you could ever possibly take advantage of. So learn God's Word and then pass it on to your children. This is part of your spiritual leadership in the home. The first step in urging your children to live lives worthy of God is you need to teach them God's Word. Instruct them in God's Word. The second step in urging your children to live lives worthy of God is to discipline them. It doesn't do any good to teach them the rules if you're not going to enforce the rules. Big basketball game tonight, NBA Finals, Game 7. A lot of us are going to be watching. What if the referees tonight said, well, you know what? The players already know all the rules, so we're just going to sit on the bench. We're not actually going to call anything tonight. You will never see a basketball game turn into a hockey game quicker in your whole life, right? We need to instruct our children in God's ways, but then we need to discipline them in those ways as well. Proverbs 19:18 says, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. And dads, if you refuse to do the hard work of disciplining your son or daughter, Proverbs 19:18 says you are signing their death warrant. You are turning them over to foolishness and the sinfulness of their own heart. The Bible says, don't do it. Be firm, be loving, but discipline. It takes a lot of energy. It's a lot of work, but it is so worth it in the end. Proverbs 29:17 says this, discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. Instruction, discipline, and then finally, example. Because all of your instruction and all of your training and discipline will have little impact on your child if you do not also set the example yourself. The word urge in verse 12, it literally means to solemnly charge someone out of your own personal experience. In other words, it carries the idea when you're urging someone of bearing witness or testifying that these things that you charge upon the other person, they are true in your own life. I like what Paul says to Titus about younger men in the church. Titus 2:7, Paul said, in everything, set them an example by doing what is good. That's good advice for us dads too. Or we could go back to our text this morning, verse 10. We haven't spent a lot of time in verse 10. But once again, Paul says this. He says, you are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. And before Paul ever urged this life on the Thessalonians, what did he do? He set the example himself. And fathers, you can pass on no greater legacy to your children than the instruction, the discipline, and the example of a godly life, leading your children to live their lives to the glory of God. Urge these things upon your children. So what makes a great dad? How does a father motivate his children? I can't think of a better description or instruction than what we find right here. 1 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God. Think about this for a minute. Picture this with me. What if every child born into our world had a father who encouraged them? Who encouraged them by their words, loving and affirming them, by their presence, involved in their lives and activities, by their support, learning their interests and helping them out? What if every child had a father who comforted them? By listening, really listening, by empathizing and identifying with them, by physical touch, hugging them, holding them, noogieing them, showing them a genuine affection and concern. And what if every child had a father who urged them to live a life worthy of God by instructing them in God's word, by firmly but lovingly disciplining them when they stray from God's path, by setting the example of a godly man who loves Jesus with his whole heart and seeks to follow after him? What would our world be like with men like that? And dads, you have the power at hand to make that difference. And by God's strength and God's grace, I challenge you. I told you this was going to be the challenging message this morning. I challenge you to be that man. Let's pray. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, even as I've preached these words, Lord, I know that I have fallen far short in my own life. And so I confess my sin to you. I confess my mistakes and my failures and my weaknesses. And I thank you so much for the grace that is in Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for my kids. I pray for them even this morning. Ramon and Sam and Tim. Pray that you continue working in their lives and building them up and helping them to seek hard after you. Lord, I pray for every one of our dads here this morning. Whatever age, whether our kids are young or whether they're grown, Lord, we can still encourage, we can comfort, we can urge, we can pray. We can do the things that you call a godly father to do. And Lord, we know by your word that the things that we do in the power of your Holy Spirit, trusting you, those things will make the difference. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.